A good king who makes all things right is coming. A humble king riding on a donkey. From Zechariah 9. They weren't expecting that sort of king. In those days, people had been, when they were walking outside, they would get their feet dirty. So as soon as you would enter a house, the servant would come and he would wash your feet. And that's what Jesus did. He took a cloth and he took a bowl and he washed his disciples' feet. They weren't expecting that sort of king. A lowly servant who literally got down and dirty amongst all the rubbish of the road. And Peter was so shocked that Jesus would do that, he said, "No, you're not going to wash my feet, Master." But Jesus said, "Look, you've got to let me wash all of you, or you won't know or be a part of what I'm doing." And Peter said, "Well, wash all of me, not just my feet, my hands and my head." Even though they hadn't expected it, Peter and his friends allowed Jesus to wash their feet. And later that same night, Jesus' friends expected dinner, but they didn't expect Jesus to turn the ordinary Passover meal into something very serious. When Jesus took bread and he broke it and he said, "This will be my body broken for you." They did not expect that. And the people who believed that Jesus was their king definitely did not expect Jesus to be crucified on a hill, to take on the sins of the world, to be nailed to a cross. That was not the plan, they thought. They were not expecting that. And they saw him die on that cross. They wrapped his body in grave clothes and placed him in the tomb. They weren't expecting that. But as we know, things did not go as they expected. And 3 days later, they discovered the tomb had been open, the grave clothes were empty, and Jesus was alive. They discovered that even though nothing had happened as they expected it would, something amazing had happened, that Jesus was alive. They knew that he was not the sort of king they had been expecting, but the king sent by God. So perhaps next time you see something that looks more like an egg than a coconut, perhaps this afternoon, as you're scoffing your Easter eggs, has anyone got some nice Easter eggs? I've got a lovely lemon meringue one. Looking forward to that. So perhaps when you next see something that looks like an Easter egg, perhaps you'll remember the story of Easter. Perhaps you'll remember that God rarely does things that we expect him to do. Just like the gift of Jesus on that first Easter. It always turns out to be something very special and unexpected. Today is April Fool's Day, and I think that's a great day to remember the cross, because the Bible says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the gift of God. There's always going to be some people who don't get it because it doesn't make sense, because that's what faith and belief is for. There will always be some who believe that the message that this man died for you is foolishness. I'd like to challenge you this morning that if you don't know this man for yourself, a man who loves you, this man who is God, I'd like to challenge you to come over here and to pick up one of these leaflets. Some of us have got them on our cars, these symbols, and on our wristbands. Just four simple points that say that God loves you. I don't want anybody to go out of the church this morning not knowing that you are loved by God. He thinks you're the bee's knees. You're made by him and he loves you. The second symbol is the sort of symbol you see at the X Factor when it goes, that symbol. A different sort of cross that I would get on my maths homework pretty much every week. Wasn't very good at maths. And it reminds us that we've sinned. We've all messed up to God's standard. None of us pass by ourselves. A bit like me at maths at school. Never pass without help. All of us have got it wrong when we measure ourselves against God's standard. And so God needed to send something, someone to help us. And the third symbol is the cross. The cross that is foolishness to some. The cross in which Jesus died was God's answer to help us be friends with him again. Jesus, who took all our wrong on his shoulders, and he says, I'll bear it for them, for you, so that I can be the bridge to help them get to you. And the fourth little symbol that we think about this morning is a question mark. I think this is the greatest message the world has ever known, but it does beg the response. What's your response? What do you do with this story of this Jesus who loves you, of this God who sent Jesus to save you? What do you do? Do you say, well, it's foolishness? Or do you say, yes, I believe? If you want to know more, if you want someone to talk this through with you, grab any of the band, I'm sure they'd love to help, or me, or any of the prayer team who will be over in that corner. We'd love to explain more about the hope and the reason that we have for why we believe Jesus is so fab. On everybody's table are some little Easter eggs. We're going to think about now about the people who we know in our homes, in our houses, in our workplaces, that need some hope, that need that message of love in their lives, perhaps people who are struggling at the moment. So I'd like to invite you, whilst the band are playing, hopefully some tables have already done them, have coloured them in and written some people's names on it. The band are going to play. And I'd like you to write some folk who need our prayers on your Easter eggs. And one table at a time, I'd like to invite you to come and stick them on the cross as a prayer this morning. And the band are going to play The Splendor of the King, probably more than once, because this may take a bit longer. And I'd like to invite you to do that now.